From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. What lies ahead for America's war in Iraq? Well, yesterday, General David Petraeus took the mic at hearings on Capitol Hill. He described the situation on the ground as a fragile and reversible progress. General Petraeus said that 20,000 servicemen and women will return home by July. After that withdrawal, he recommended temporarily halting more troop drawdowns. Because the three leading contenders in the presidential race are senators, they each had opportunities to quiz the general. In his opening remarks, Senator John McCain said that he believes a complete withdrawal is eventually possible.
I believe we can achieve that goal perhaps sooner than many imagine. But I also believe that the promise of withdrawal of our forces, regardless of the consequences, would constitute a failure of political and moral leadership.
To discuss the hearings and other political news, we're joined by Donna Brazile, Democratic strategist, author, and nationally syndicated columnist, and Robert Trainum, D.C. Bureau Chief for the Comcast Cable Network, CN8. Welcome.
Hello.
So after months of reduced violence, there's been an upswing in attacks in Iraq, particularly near Basra. The senators had plenty of questions on Capitol Hill, and here is Senator Clinton quizzing the general.
So how are we to judge General Petraeus? What the conditions are or should be, and the actions that you and the administration would recommend pursuing based on them?
With respect to the conditions, Senator, what we have is a number of factors that we will consider by area.
Now, how did the senators frame their approach to these hearings? I'm going to ask you first, Donna.
Well, first of all, I think Senator John McCain used his line of question, if you look at it, to, again, reinforce the message that the United States should stay in Iraq, that it would be unwise to set a timetable for an exit. Senator Clinton used her time to question the effectiveness of the surge and whether or not any political progress clearly have been made. And Senator Obama used his line of questioning to once again point out that perhaps the United States should be focusing its efforts in Afghanistan and Pakistan, where Al-Qaeda is, has assembled on the Afghanistan border. And he tried to get Ambassador Crocker, as well as General Petraeus, to acknowledge that Al-Qaeda is a greater threat in that part of the world rather than in Iraq. So I think they all used the hearing to reinforce their general positioning on Iraq, with both Senator Clinton as well as Senator Obama believing that it's time for us to begin to bring our troops home. And Senator McCain used his time to reinforce that we should stay there as long as needed. And, again, Senator Levin and others who are not running for president question whether or not the United States should continue to spend billions of our dollars while the Iraqi government now has over $300 billion in surplus, and perhaps it's time for them to begin to spend their own money.
Along those lines, when you think about, Robert, some of the jockeying that there's been over national security as an issue and contrasting our national security needs with some of the other needs this country has right now, do you think that anyone was a winner yesterday among these three candidates in terms of really getting their message out, or did all of them do fairly well in just sort of trying to look smart on Capitol Hill, which is a task in and of itself?
You're exactly right, Farai. Look, I mean, everyone used this as a platform to advance their own personal opinions or feelings or whatever you want to call it as it relates to the war in Iraq and also in Afghanistan. What I found very interesting about the questioning yesterday, Farai, is that not only was it civil, but also it was pretty intellectually challenging for the most part. I mean, all the senators, even the ones that are not running for president, made their points and made them very, very clearly. They strongly disagreed and or agreed with the administration on particular policy. But even more importantly, and I hate to say this, but I think I'm right here, is that General Petraeus was almost he was almost just like a prop on this massive stage. And the reason why is because Senators McCain, Obama, and Clinton were not necessarily speaking to to General Petraeus. They were actually speaking to the American people through General Petraeus to augment whatever they feel about the Iraq war. Senator McCain made his points and made them very, very well, as well as Senator Obama and Clinton. I actually thought Senator Clinton's comments were much more less divisive as they were in the past. Remember when General Petraeus was up on Capitol Hill in the summertime, it was very bombastic. It was very combative. It was almost like, how dare you sit here and lie to me? Because the facts that you are portraying, General Petraeus, are not the facts that we're seeing on the television screens and that we're listening on NPR. So yesterday was very, very interesting, and it was a complete 360, if you will, as opposed to the line of questioning come, 6 months ago.
Well, let's move on to some other presidential campaign news. Hillary Clinton's chief campaign strategist, Mark Pence, stepped down over the weekend. As part of his duties at a private firm, he was part of a meeting, scheduled meeting with Colombian officials to discuss a free trade pact. The problem was that Senator Clinton opposes that deal. So, Donna, could this hurt Senator Clinton in the upcoming Pennsylvania primary because the whole issue of free trade and NAFTA has been such a thorn in the side of some voters?
I think so, only because it's a distraction. Senator Clinton opposes the free trade pact with Colombia. She has disagreements with the NAFTA trade deal as well that she was involved with, or her husband, of course, supported back in the 1990s. Former President Bill Clinton supports the Colombia Free Trade Act. That's also a little bit of a difficulty for her. And Mark Penn is still involved in the campaign, not as chief strategist, but as a his company is still doing polling and as well as doing the mail. So I think you will find some of the labor unions taking issue with Senator Clinton for keeping Mark Penn on the payroll, so to speak, although it's not Mark Penn personally, it's his firm. His firms have been paid over $10 million thus far in delivering various services to the Clinton campaign. And to the extent that he's still at the table, although not at the head of the table, he becomes a campaign issue.
Robert, a friend of mine who is working on one of the campaigns said that your whole goal is to keep the campaign staff out of the news. Is this hurtful mainly in the sense that Donna says of being a distraction from the message?
Yes. I mean, look, this is just yet another hiccup in a long road of hiccups. First, you had Patty Solis Doyle, who was the first campaign manager for Senator Clinton. You also had some surrogates out there on both sides, on Senator Obama's side and also on Senator Clinton's side, making some unfortunate remarks. And now you have Mark Penn. Look, the average person out there does not know who Mark Penn is, nor do they care. But what they do care about is the Colombian Free Trade Agreement. They care about gas prices. They care about health care. They care about the direction of this country. And, of course, they care about Iraq. So I think we should put this into perspective. The average person out there probably doesn't care about Mark Penn, doesn't really care about whether he's on payroll or not. But again, they care about the overall direction of Senator Clinton's campaign. And if, in fact, she's projecting this image, if you will, of someone that is looking out for their best interest. And again, this is something that is a hiccup. Will it be the nail in the coffin for Senator Clinton's campaign? Probably not. But again, this is the last thing that she needs.
We're going to make a run at this later in the show on our Bloggers Roundtable, but I want to give you guys a quick crack at Condoleezza Rice. Senator McCain is putting together his short list of vice presidential candidates, and Condoleezza Rice has been variously portrayed as seeking it and not seeking it. What do you think, Donna?
First of all, she's not seeking it. She's not interested. She has indicated on numerous occasions that she is returning to California, returning to Stanford, returning to academic life. I think Condoleezza Rice is a little bit tired of Washington, D.C. at this point in terms of when her service is over with at the end of President Bush's term. She hopes to return to private life again.
What do you think, Robert?
Donna's exactly right. Secretary Rice is not even remotely interested in retail politics. She is a foreign policy geek, and I say that with all the tongue-in-cheek and love that she is deserving of. She wants to go back to California. This is a bunch of individuals in Washington, D.C., Dan Senor and some other folks that are sitting around a table trying to come up with a dream ticket for Senator McCain because they pretty much recognize that as of right now, there's a 99.9% chance that there is going to be a minority at the head of the ticket on the Democratic side, whether it be Senator Clinton or Senator Obama. So what Republicans want, they desperately want, is diversity on their side as well. And since Senator McCain is a bit older, he's 71 years old, he'll be 72 if in fact he's elected and inaugurated, they, meaning the McCain camp, recognize that they need someone young, fresh, dynamic, preferably a woman, preferably an African-American. And, of course, on the Republican side, when you put those criteria out there, the pickings are kind of slim. So, of course, well, naturally, Condoleezza Rice would be at the top of that list.
Well, I'm going to ask
Donna,
you that.
Don't laugh, Donna.
I'm laughing because Condoleezza Rice has enough gravitas and experience to head the ticket in 2012 because I don't believe Senator McCain will win. So she should, if she's interested in serving, she should wait until 2012, Robert, and hire you to run her campaign.
Well, Robert,
well, I'm not running your...
who else is there? I mean, you mentioned, I mean, I'm sure it's highly debatable whether or not they're looking specifically for an African-American, the Republican Party, that is. But who else is out there? You know, some people, for example, have talked about Prescott Bush being a future candidate. He is of Latino heritage of the Bush family, Jeb Bush's son. But who, you know, who have we got right now?
Well, let's just look at the numbers here. And what the numbers dictate is that there are only just a few people out there that actually can help the ticket come November. That is Charlie Crist, who is the current governor of Florida. That is Governor Pawlenty, the current governor of Minnesota. You also have a couple of senators out there, Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. There's some talk of Tom Ridge, who is the former governor of Pennsylvania. So, you know, Senator McCain has a very, very small list of people that he actually would help him on the ticket. And what he needs to do and what he's doing is sitting down, taking a deep breath, telling everyone to relax, and says, you know what, this process will work itself out. We have months before we go to Minneapolis, meaning the Republicans going to the convention, and we will find the best candidate that, God forbid, if I was to die, to assume the presidency, if in fact it comes to that. So the list is very, very small. And you're speaking of George Prescott Bush, who is current President Bush's nephew, who obviously is not qualified to be the vice presidential nominee right now. There are a lot of social conservatives out there, Farai, that would love for Jeb Bush to become the vice presidential nominee, who is the former governor of Florida. But because of his last name Bush, I'm not exactly sure the American people can tolerate another Bush at the top of the ticket right now.
All right. Amen. On that note.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Donna and Robert, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Farai.
Robert Tranum is the D.C. Bureau Chief for the Comcast cable network CN8. He joined us from WHYY in Philadelphia. And Donna Brazile is a Democratic strategist, author, and nationally syndicated columnist.